Welcome to our autumn conference, to the conference which is just organised just before the Committee on World Food Security, to the conference that marks the first of the Food Sovereignty Month in the UK, something which we'll talk to you about when we talk about Nearly Europe in the second half of the meeting. Very pleased to see you. I'm hoping that we'll have an opportunity to not only hear four excellent speakers, but also to debate with them some of the issues that they're going to raise, to hear a feedback from the highly dynamic Nearly Europe 2011 Forum for Food Sovereignty, which was held last month in Austria, and to have a panel discussion, including some of the people who are at Nearly and our speakers, to be able to tease out some of the issues, some of the key issues about how it's possible to ensure that small-scale food producers who currently feed the world can continue to do so. And it's an agenda which we believe is a very positive, a very transformative agenda, one which is certainly within the grasp of humanity, but there are lots of obstacles in the way. What can we do to help clear this obstacle? What can we do to help support the processes which will enable small-scale food producers to continue doing what they do very successfully at the moment? But just before we get into the speakers, I wanted just to pay tribute to the wonderful Wangari Maathai, who I'm sure many of you would have heard here in London, a tower of a woman who tragically passed away on Sunday, and after fighting cancer. I know there are one or two people here who knew her personally, probably better than I did. I had the pleasure of meeting her a few times when she was here in London. When the Convention on Biological Diversity met in Nairobi, we had the opportunity to go out to her village and plant trees with the women in a wonderful affair. And also, she insisted that some of the land around the United Nations Environment Programme headquarters in Gigini also should be planted to trees, so we went out and planted trees there as well. She was a towering force of a woman, and one who inspired all who heard her, and one who shook the very roots of Moy when she was contesting in Nairobi. But is Ikao still here?
Yeah.
Are you there? Do you want to just say a couple of words? Because I guess you knew her better than most of us.
Good afternoon, all of you. I got to know Wangari Maathai through a lot of different avenues. One of my biggest mentors is Richard Leakey, and so he consistently pushed me to speak to her. I got into advocacy because of environmental justice with the pastoralist communities, and that is how it was seen to be different, because she worked on trees and I was just dealing with ecosystems. But more and more, we then got to work together. And when I'm going to read something that she consistently said, and it's not different from what we're doing. Wangari kept saying that it is evident that many wars are fought over resources, which are now becoming increasingly scarce. If we conserve our resources better, fighting over them would then not occur. So protecting the global environment is directly related to securing peace. Those of us who understand the complex concept of the environment have the balance to act. We must not tire, we must not give up, we must persist. And if you look at the whole discussion of food sovereignty, we can never detach food sovereignty to the environment. And that is the consistent word that keeps us going, that whether it's agriculture, whether it's pastoralism, whether it's fishing, each livelihood that we keep fighting for food sovereignty is really linked to the environment. Thank you.
So, a few words, a few moments, just to ponder your own personal thoughts about Wangari. I didn't realise until just now that she'd born on April Fool's Day, but she could have fooled many of us. She was a terrible woman. I want to pass to another amazing individual. And I sort of duty bound and honour bound to do so. I worked for Practical Action, that formerly was ITG, set up by Fritz Schumacher. A centenary vintage edition of Small is Beautiful has been left in your chairs courtesy of our organisation. And if you haven't read it before, you must read it. If you have read it before, you must reread it. It's full of the most wonderful truisms, which of course are coming to pass. And so much of the wisdom of Fritz, for me, it's summed up in this particular quote, which I'm sure many of you heard me say before. Modern man talks of the battle with nature, forgetting that if he ever won the battle, he would find himself on the losing side. And in many, many different areas of endeavour, Fritz had sensible things to say, and ones which indeed were very prescient. And I remember going to a showing of The Edge of the Forest, the last film that he made, where he's speaking before an ancient forest in Australia, which is burning, and he's just describing some of the problems in the world and some of the solutions. And coming out of that showing, I was going past all sorts of groups of people who'd been watching it, and there were a couple of ecologists who said, "This is just amazing." What he said was absolutely the heart of ecology. He encapsulated what ecology is all about. Another group, the economists, they say, he absolutely summarised what economy was about and the nature, the need for transforming the economy, and biologists and welfare and so forth. He had the ability to communicate in ways which many of us would do well to study. And I interviewed Andrew Sims, who is a fellow of the New Economics Foundation. I think many of you will know him. And in a conversation, we were talking about Fritz and Fritz Schumacher. He came up with this lovely little paragraph. Now, the food sovereignty movement, for example, is an ideal manifestation of everything that Schumacher believed in. It's a model of how you would apply Schumacher's notions of subsidiarity and appropriateness of scale to the food system. Food sovereignty, with its focus on local food needs and making sure these are compatible with local ecosystems, is a living vehicle of the ideas and insights of Schumacher. And I think you have there the essence of what we believe fervently in our organisation is the framework for taking forward issues on food and agriculture. And we'll hear more about this during the afternoon. And many of you, again, are familiar with the six pillars of food sovereignty that were agreed in the Mali Forum in 2007. And it's too small to read, I'm sure, from the back. If you don't know, ask me and I'll send you a copy. But it essentially encapsulates what the food system is and what we believe it should be for and what we're fighting for, but also highlighting what we're against. And by having that framework within which to operate, it does help us in our discussions on any number of details, be it on seeds, on land issues, on trade, on models of production. So it's a very lively framework, and I was delighted when Andrew Sims made that comment about Fritz Schumacher's potential views of it. It's the centenary of his birth, and we're using every opportunity to celebrate Fritz Schumacher. We're going to talk a little bit in a moment about, after the coffee break, about Nearly Europe, give you a little bit of feedback, which I think brings food sovereignty home. It was a process which enabled us to bring food sovereignty home, and we'll describe some of the things that we talked about and some of the actions that we propose to take. But let's get on to the main business of the afternoon. We've got four absolutely wonderful speakers who represent the interests of or are small-scale food providers themselves, and they will give us a set of views about this issue that we're debating.